And good morning, everyone, and welcome to Small Biz Matters, the half-hour program where you work on your business rather than in it. My name is Alexi Boyd, your trusted host, lover of all things small business advocate, spruiker, anything you want to call it. But really, we are all about small biz here on Small Biz Matters. And today we're talking about something that we don't like to talk about in small business. It's about debt and refinancing and thinking about the big picture when it comes to how much money you owe. And of course, when you run a small business, that's not just about what the business owns, but it also is in terms of what debt you're holding on to and have as a family too, because so much of what we do as small businesses is intrinsically linked with who we are. So I thought today would be a great opportunity. The last few weeks we've been talking about thinking, running a business with the end in mind. We've had some great guests over the last few weeks. And today's guest is also talking about this with relation to debt. It is a subject we don't like to think about, many of us run away from, and don't often look at the bigger picture when it comes to our business as well. So a debt advisor is someone who assists you with, I guess, looking at what position you are in with debt with various organisations, or perhaps even this is an opportunity to just stop and think about where you sit with some of your suppliers as well, and to how you're sitting with some of your clients in terms of whether or not they owe you any money. So there's some little intricate day-to-day bookkeeping things that we're going to chat about, which we always do on Small Biz, but we're also going to talk about the bigger picture. So today's guest is John Michalitzi from Command Home Loans. Thank you so much for joining us today, John.
Thank you, Alexi.
Now, take me a little bit through your small biz journey, because we like to talk about people's journeys. It's always interesting to find out what their backgrounds are. What's your background and what led you to do what it is that you're passionate about now?
So firstly, thank you again for having me. So my background is a combination of, prior to going to business for myself, working for larger organisations in the areas of accounting, finance and insurance.
Mm-hmm. And
through that journey, I did my own, investing in property and also managed my own mortgage. And I sat there and I thought, there's got to be a better way. I was working for a large corporate, I was time starved, and I was dealing directly with a bank whose hours were from 9:30 to 4:30.
Sounds like at school.
Yes, yes. And it was really difficult to deal with them. I felt that I knew more than the person who was managing my affairs. And I thought there's got to be a better way, but I did nothing with it. And then 3 years ago, I thought, no, I'm going to have a crack at this, and decided to start my own finance broking business under the branding of Command Home Loans.
What I find really interesting about your background as well is that you've come at it with a sort of a three-pronged approach. I mean, we talk about here on Small Biz surrounding ourselves with really good people that support us, and I guess your background ticks quite a few of those boxes. You've got the insurance side, you've got the accounting side, you've got the finance side. And I guess talking to small businesses throughout, you will have come across quite a number of issues and pinch points that we like to talk about on the show. That skill set comes with you and that experience?
Yes. So there's three areas: accounting, finance and insurance are really important to small business.
Mm.
So first off, you've got to have an idea for your business, right?
You've got to have a widget.
Yeah. Then how do you fund the business? You've got two choices. Equity, if you've got enough cash, you don't need any debt, fantastic, good on you. Or if you need some debt to start and run your business, that's okay as well. But you need to understand that, because it's tightly linked to cash flow, which then comes back to the accounting side and bookkeeping side of your business. And then insurance is important as well. So every business, every person has risks, and those risks should be insured as well. So it's a good combination. It's not just about sitting there and going, I can get you a loan and look at the loan piece, because for a business, that's just one piece of a multi-pronged puzzle.
So it's important for businesses, obviously, even before they're thinking about starting, to understand what their financial position is and what their debt position is. Would you say that's crucial?
That's crucial. Mm. So as I alluded to before, when you start a business or you're looking at a project, there's only two choices, equity or debt. So if you've got enough cash to fund something, great. Although the other side of that equation is, well, do you want to use all your cash? Should and could you use debt instead? Because is it more efficient from a cash flow perspective?
Mm-hmm.
And is it better from even a tax perspective? Mm-hmm. Right. So they are the fundamental choices when starting a business, but also the fundamental things you should constantly look at when you're running your business, as hopefully it gets successful.
That segues nicely into what I was going to say about the importance of, as we all know, really good bookkeeping. And that is because it keeps everything up to date. You know where you stand a lot of the time. See, I come across so many businesses, sometimes even guests on the show, who see their bank balance as their cash position. And that's just nuts, because you don't know what bills are coming up with the seasonality of your business, whether or not you're owed money, whether or not you owe other suppliers money. It's such an important thing to be aware of. Is it as simple as just basically keeping your books up to date, or do you have to delve into it a little bit more than that, putting your accounting hat on right now?
So the way I answer that, this is that, yes, you must have your books up to date.
Mm. Because everybody likes that anyway.
Yeah, without that, you know, how can you make informed decisions? So if we're talking about, and I see this as working on the business, not in the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have to make informed decisions about, okay, well, if you've got an idea that, you know, you want to take your business to the next level, you've got to make informed decisions as to how you do that. And you can only do that with good information. So if you don't have your house in order and you don't have the right information, you run the risk of making incorrect decisions.
That's right. And you also run the risk of these fabulous people that you've surrounded yourself with, that we keep talking about, they can't make accurate decisions either if they're not given the data that they need. And it's
cash. Should and could you use debt instead? Because is it more efficient from a cash flow perspective?
Mm-hmm.
And is it better from even a tax perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they are the fundamental choices when starting a business, but also the fundamental things you should constantly look at when you're running your business, as hopefully it gets successful.
That segues nicely into what I was going to say about the importance of, as we all know, really good bookkeeping. And that is because it keeps everything up to date. You know where you stand a lot of the time. See, I come across so many businesses, sometimes even guests on the show, who see their bank balance as their cash position. And that's just nuts, because you don't know what bills are coming up with the seasonality of your business, whether or not you're owed money, whether or not you owe other suppliers money. It's such an important thing to be aware of. Is it as simple as just basically keeping your books up to date, or do you have to delve into it a little bit more than that, putting your accounting hat on right now?
So the way I answer that, this is that, yes, you must have your books up to date.
Mm. Because everybody likes that anyway.
Yeah, without that, you know, how can you make informed decisions? So if we're talking about, and I see this as working on the business, not in the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have to make informed decisions about, okay, well, if you've got an idea that, you know, you want to take your business to the next level, you've got to make informed decisions as to how you do that. And you can only do that with good information. So if you don't have your house in order and you don't have the right information, you run the risk of making incorrect decisions.
That's right. And you also run the risk of these fabulous people that you've surrounded yourself with, that we keep talking about, they can't make accurate decisions either if they're not given the data that they need and it's incomplete, or there's risks associated with that as well, not giving the right information out, then you're not giving them the chance to service you as best as they can.
Absolutely. So from my perspective, when I'm looking at small businesses' affairs and I'm looking to determine, you know, whether they can get a loan for a house or whatever type of loan it is, I can only work with what's in front of me. And so if their affairs are messy and, you know, haven't been looked after to the best of their ability in the past, I can't change that. And that's all I've got to go with to a lender, which then can affect whether I get the loan at all or borrowing capacity.
That's right. And let's just talk a little bit about actually engaging with a good debt financer or someone who understands this sort of thing. What does it mean to be independent? Because we were talking a little bit yesterday when we were having a coffee about this, and I believe that if you go somewhere that's a one-stop shop that has the accounting, the insurance, the advisory service, the bookkeeping, if it's all in one place, who's keeping an eye on the other person? Who's really sort of looking after you as the client as opposed to the business looking after the business? Have you had any experience in this?
Yeah, so myself personally and the firm I work with, by the way, it's Command Home Loans, but that is just a brand name. You know, I do business loans and commercial loans as well as residential. So I'm well placed to talk on this subject matter. So as an example, we're independent. We don't have, you know, any affiliations we don't have in our structure an accounting arm or any other or an insurance arm.
But you do refer, obviously. You've got to work with good people. Yeah, that's right. So we've got to make sure that that's quite clear. But if somebody's looking for something that's truly independent, is it just as simple as saying they're not in the same building? How can you tell if someone is a really independent broker?
So firstly, the first thing you should do is determine whether they're an actual authorised credit representative, so they can actually give credit advice to you in their own right, and they're not just an employee of a larger organisation. Mm-hmm. And that should be evident in when they should provide a credit guide up to you. Mm-hmm. But just ask the question. Yeah. So it's as simple as that. Ask who owns them. Ask what their company structure looks like as well. Make sure they've got all the right insurances in place as well as a business owner. So that's just some of the simple questions you can ask. Back to your question about independence. Again, it's not to say that if all those services are all under one roof, there's anything wrong with that. But again, it's just make an informed decision about, okay, well, am I better off by having all those services tied under one roof, or am I better off having independent people who can work together for my best interests? Personally, I like to have a bit of independence of thought, independence of ideas, so that hopefully I'm getting a broad range of advice and not advice that can then be coloured because it's all coming under one roof and certain decisions are being made for the interests of that business rather than me.
Not that you should completely discount it, because, of course, it is convenient as a small business owner. One of the things we can all tick the box off is being time poor, and it is kind of convenient to be able to go somewhere and just go, I'm going to go and meet with my accountant, my insurance broker, all these guys in one morning. That's great. But make sure that you're checking out that level of independence. And, of course, don't forget about your small business colleagues. We all do great networking. If you're running a business successfully, you do dip your toe into networking occasionally. Talk to other people. Talk to your professional association. Ask other people in your industry, in your area, who they use as well. And try and keep it local people, because even in your very much on your doorstep, you're going to have all of these great representatives available to you. And there's nothing more convenient than not battling through Sydney traffic to get to a meeting. Now, that's really some really great advice there in relation to independent thinking. I like what you were saying there, because I guess you want people to come at it from a little bit of a different angle. So you're making a decision about whether or not you should take on more debt as a small business. Maybe you need to buy some capital equipment. You want to be able to ask different people's opinions. And I really like what you're mentioning there, because, you know, they're going to have different experience with other industries and other businesses as well. I'm just thinking of one of my clients who he's a carpenter, and he needed to get a felder something or another. I have no idea what it does. It's convenient. As a small business owner, one of the things we can all tick the box off is being time poor. And it is kind of convenient to be able to go somewhere and just go, I'm going to go and meet with my accountant, my insurance broker, all these guys in one morning. That's great. But make sure that you're checking out that level of independence. And, of course, don't forget about your small business colleagues. We all do great networking. If you're running a business successfully, you do dip your toe into networking occasionally. Talk to other people. Talk to your professional association. Ask other people in your industry, in your area, who they use as well. And try and keep it local people, because even in your very much on your doorstep, you're going to have all of these great representatives available to you. And there's nothing more convenient than not battling through Sydney traffic to get to a meeting. Now, that's really some really great advice there in relation to independent thinking. I like what you were saying there, because I guess you want people to come at it from a little bit of a different angle. So you're making a decision about whether or not you should take on more debt as a small business. Maybe you need to buy some capital equipment. You want to be able to ask different people's opinions. And I really like what you're mentioning there, because, you know, they're going to have different experience with other industries and other businesses as well. I'm just thinking of one of my clients who he's a carpenter, and he needed to get a felder something or another. I have no idea what it does. It's something to do with carpentry. But he actually went around and saw several finance guys and shopped around a little bit, which I was quite impressed with, because he finally found someone that actually, A, knew what the piece of equipment was and almost could do a better deal because of it, because they sort of knew the industry a little bit more. And I guess that does come with that independence, doesn't it?
Yes, that's exactly right. And it's good for him for shopping around as well. Some people just, I think they're time poor and they just go for a quick solution, which then can come back and bite them.
Exactly. So I want to talk a little bit today in particular about debt advisory. Now, this is one of the things that you're a specialist in, obviously because of your background, which really helps with that sort of skill set. But what does it mean to be a debt advisor?
So what it means to be a debt advisor is to sit back and, rather than dive into finance, understand what the person is trying to achieve. Understand then what their current structure and scenario is, and then put that together and make recommendations to move forward.
Simple as that. Well, obviously with a lot more skills.
Yeah, so it gets very detailed after that, but you've got to have that simple framework to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and then it's all encompassing. So we talk about small business, but small business, there's people behind it. So it's a case of understanding, okay, well, what does the personal side look like? What does the business side look like? The two are married together.
Absolutely. You can't extract one from the other.
And that's why, you know, I've decided to go down this path of being broader and understanding and being able to understand and deliver on both personal finance and business finance, because if you can't do that, then you're not really useful to a small business. You can't just sit there and say, oh, I'll do your home loan, but I can't do other parts.
It's like going to an accountant. You wouldn't go with your personal accounting books to one accountant and then go with your little PTY LTD to another accountant. That'd be nuts.
Exactly.
Because it's all intrinsically linked, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
We might just take a quick break now just listen to some community service announcements. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about cash flow for debt management, something that I'm a big fan of, obviously, being a bookkeeper. And we'll come back after the break with John from Command Home Loans. You are listening to Triple H 100.1 FM. Small Biz Matters will be back after this. So today on the show, we are talking to John from Command Home Loans, and we're talking all about debt financing. And the reason why I thought this was a really pertinent subject is because lately we've been talking about running a business with the end in mind. Now, I don't want you to think about this as the end in terms of your debt, but rather examining it, looking at it, seeing how you can do it better, do it more cheaply, and with the long-term picture in mind. Because John, you were mentioning yesterday when we were having a coffee that a lot of people, they will release equity somewhere else, perhaps from their home, just to get the business jump-started. But of course, that loan, that's a 30-year loan, isn't it? And it might be cheap because you're going, oh, I'm only paying 4.9% or whatever it is that your home loan interest rate is. But that extra 100 grand or whatever it is that you took out to get your business jump-started is actually going to going to be spread out over 30 years. So it's going to cost you a lot more, right?
Exactly. So one thing to be... So traditionally, the traditional way to start a business, which I don't think is going to change anytime soon, is you mortgage your house, you perhaps get a line of credit to give you some capital to start the business, And then away you go. And with interest rates where being where they are at the moment, you know, being at, you know, either high threes or low fours, people think, okay, well, that's pretty cheap. However, if you don't pay that down or restructure that and have that debt there for the full 30-year term, the interest calculations can be eye-watering. Mm. How much interest you're paying over that 30 years is quite a lot. So at some point, it's good to sit there and go, okay, is this the best use of debt? Is it the best use of capital? Should I restructure? Should I now get some form of business loan on a shorter term, or look for some other means for that debt and align what we call purpose with debt?
May I ask you a quick question here? Might put you on the spot a bit. What is that point? You said at some point. Are we talking when you are earning over a certain amount, when you've hit a tax threshold, when you have regular business and look to be likely to continue for the next 2 to 5 years? When is that safe and conservative to re-examine that debt and go, right, well, now I've got enough money in the business, I'm earning enough to be able to repay it? Is that the question?
Yeah, so it's likely going to be when you're in profit and good profits, as just a general rule.
Ongoing. Right. And yep. Again, coming back to what we were saying before, you're not going to know that unless your books are up to date.
Exactly.
So one of the things that we were talking about yesterday, and I really like this point that you made during our chat, which is you need to ask yourself the big questions. So what is your debt? I mean, some people don't even realise, okay, I might have had 100K at the beginning injected in some way, shape or form, and now what is that? I mean, it's been 5 years. Is that still 100K? How much interest have I actually paid on that, and how much will I moving forward based on what you were saying a little bit earlier about releasing capital from a home loan, for example? What is it for? So what am I even using that debt for anymore if I'm now fine and I'm able to repay things and I'm actually earning a decent wage? And is it for the right purpose? So you might have rolled over that debt to say, okay, well, at the beginning, it was a way to inject money into the business, but now I need to buy this big piece of capital equipment or some stock, and I've just rolled that over. And is that sensible? So why are those three questions really important for a business to be familiar with?
So it's important. Again, it comes back to that issue of if it's the wrong debt and if it's too long a time, you're effectively going to be paying, you know, more interest. Okay. The other issue is, and I won't get too much into the accounting and tax piece, but is the way you've structured the debt, if you've just taken it off the home loan and there's no easy way to account for the money you've taken out for the business versus the money that is the loan there that is purely for, you know, the mortgage that was there before you started the business, is there an easy way to account for that? Because if there isn't, then are you getting the correct tax deduction and losses, you know, attributed to the business?
Exactly. You need to know, right, how much interest you're paying, even if it is off the home
that's
loan,
right,
account.
That's right.
Because that is the interest repayments that are deductible.
Yeah, that's right. And also it's a good discipline. So rather than sit there and go, oh, I need that piece of equipment and I'll just dip into the mortgage again and then sort of forget it. If you do have a loan that is fit for that purpose and the term is shorter, it's good discipline, because then you say, okay, well, yeah, it is a shorter term, but I've got a plan then to, you know, pay it off, depreciate it, and do it properly, so to speak, rather than, again, getting just that cash from that pool that's called your mortgage and just thinking that it's always there and it's a bottomless pit, because it isn't.
Mm, that's right. And is that one of the reasons why rolling it over into a properly structured loan for a piece of equipment is sensible? Because A, you know where you stand, and you also know how much interest you're paying, so you can, you know, deduct that off. But it just gets mushy. It's sounding to me like it's just, you know, that whole thing about trying to differentiate yourself. From a psychological perspective, it's amazing how many people, once they become a PTY LTD, they start going, that's my business and this is me, as opposed to this is me selling myself as a business.
That's right.
Psychologically, it's important to disembowel yourself, I guess.
Yes, and the other thing is, the other principle at play here, and one is philosophical, but also the other is also around, you know, asset protection. The goal should be, if you own your home, the goal should be to own it outright.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't it be great if, instead of having, you know, that $100,000, $200,000 line of credit against your house that you're using for boats, holidays, business, wouldn't it be better if you could somehow get rid of that? Not somehow, get rid of that, put your debt with the business and have an unencumbered house, which then probably makes it easier from an asset protection perspective, a will perspective, so that you're structured better with that end in mind.
And we have to be conscious of that, because so many of us who run small businesses are essentially the business. We are one. We may not have any employees, so we're the person who's delivering all of the services, and we are at risk if you don't have professional indemnity insurance, for example, which is expensive.
Yes.
But a lot of people believe that removing themselves as the sole trader and becoming a PTY LTD, it protects their assets. Now, it doesn't necessarily, but certainly having them split out so that your assets have their own entity association as well.
Yep.
You should know what aspects of your life are associated with you as a person, yep, as opposed to you as a business. And that's difficult, I think. It's difficult to extract.
So not a lot of people understand it. This is where, again, they need good advice from other professionals, you know, not myself, you know, your accountant, financial planner, insurance, et cetera. But people should be aware of that and try to understand that to the best of their ability, and not just sit there and go, oh, yeah, my accountant looks after all of that, or someone else looks after that. Try and understand it. Try and understand the implications of, you know, ownership, where the debt is, where the debt isn't, future-proofing with wills and the like. So try to get an understanding of that is critical, and don't just leave it to someone else to think about it, because at the end of the day, it's your assets, it's your hard work, it's your money. You need to understand it.
So one good exercise that somebody might want to do after listening to the program might be to sit down and look at what sort of debt they have. So the first one you've got, even your major one, is obviously your mortgage. Other ones to examine is, you might have cars. Now, this is another one that needs to be extracted for the purposes of business, doesn't it? Because you need to understand what proportion, if you're apportioning out, is business and which is personal. And this is where I'm going to put on my bookkeeping hat now and say it's really important that you maximise that, but at the same time it needs to be legitimate.
Absolutely.
And a car log is the best way to do it and to be the most sure as to what it is that you use your business. And there's some people out there who can really use their car quite legitimately for 80 or 90% of the time. But you've got to have some proof in that. You can't just pull something out of yourself and just say, oh, okay, 50%. 50% is going to be business and 50. And that's another part of your debt that you need to split out and look like putting on one side of the spreadsheet and onto the other.
Yep.
What are some other examples of debt that people need to be aware of? We're going to get to talking about preparing yourself for financing in a second, but what other parts of debt is it that people should really distinguish between personal and business?
So the one of the most common conversations I have is around credit card debt.
Oh.
So now, even though it's personal, it counts. And the most common comment I get is, because I have to ask about all your liabilities.
Mm-hmm. Personal or otherwise?
Personal and business.
Yep.
So the common comment I get is, they say, oh, yeah, we've got a credit card, but we pay it off every month, or we don't use it. And I always have to explain, whether you pay it off or not is irrelevant. What the lender looks at is the limit, and that limit goes towards your calculation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so even on a business loan, usually you have to come back to the financial position of the individual, and things like credit card limits, interest-free payments, that is still debt.
So talking about that that laptop that you got for interest-free, 4 years interest-free from Harvey Norman a few years ago, that's still debt.
Look back. People go, oh, it's just an interest free payment, and I go, it's actually finance. If you look at the contract, there's a limit there, and that limit has to be counted towards calculating your overall financial position.
That amount that is calculated towards the overall financial position, is that just the, I'm just using a laptop as an example, is it the $4,000 laptop or is it the potential of what that $4,000 plus interest repayments, if you don't pay them off, could be? So
it's the limit is used in the calculation mm-hmm. and the repayment.
Mm.
So even though people think it's interest-free and it's not a loan repayment, it is. And it has to be taken into account in your calculation.
Now, another one that you mentioned yesterday, which I think a lot of people don't take into account, but it is becoming more pertinent because it's being registered as a debt. I'm going to use the wrong words here, but ATO.
Mm.
Yeah. So if you don't have your BASs up to date or you're not paying them off in some sort of a payment plan or you're defaulting on payments, what does the ATO do?
So from the 1st of July 2017, the ATO now has the ability to list any default on a payment on a payment over $10,000.
Which is pretty typical in terms of BASs.
Yeah, so $10,000 is not a lot, but any debt that you have with the ATO over $10,000 that is not paid off within 90 days mm-hmm. and there's no payment plan in place,
yeah.
They have the ability to list that as a default, as a defaulted loan on your credit file.
And before that, they didn't do that?
No.
So this is just another way of them being a bit more threatening, I guess, for want of a better word, and trying to get people onto payment plans and making sure people are acknowledging and accepting their debt and getting on with paying it off?
Well, it's actually ironic that we talk about this on Budget Day. So, so the ATO is effectively Treasury, and they're a business as well, and they have to collect money. And so they probably looked at all the outstanding debt within the ATO and said, well, this is unacceptable. This has to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And then so one of the mechanisms to do that is to say, okay, we're a creditor just like anyone else. If we're not paid, just like any other creditor, we're going to list a default against your business. And it's as simple as that.
And coming back to the practicality of that, I mean, and in terms of cash flow, because that $10,000 hit once every 3 months is difficult if you haven't put the money aside specifically. But what you can do is immediately get yourself into a 3-month payoff. So if you know that your BASs are happening every 3 months, which is everybody, and you've got this X amount expected BAS debt to happen every 3 months, why not immediately go onto a scheduled payment plan and pay it off in monthly increments? And then by the time the next one comes up, you've paid that off. And then it's just a rolling thing. And that sort of helps to flatten out your cash flow a little bit, doesn't it?
That's right. And also the other thing is, and I've got a particular instance at the moment where the tax bill is quite large, bit of miscommunication between the accountant and my client, and we're actually putting in place a debt facility with a lender to pay off the tax bill, and then we're going to do some restructuring so that the client can get back on track. So, you know, there are options, a payment plan with the ATO, or there are lenders who will give you a facility to pay tax debt. The key thing is don't panic. So what I hate to see is in situations where there's, you know, tax debts or divorce settlements or tricky situations, people panic and they start selling assets when potentially they didn't have to do that. There could be some restructuring or financing so that you don't have to fire sale assets, which in the long run can be quite detrimental to your overall financial position.
It sounds to me like this sort of instance, and we're not just talking about ATO, but some sort of large debt that suddenly comes, that's a good time to engage with a debt advisor so
yes.
that you can reassess, what our three magical questions are today. What is your debt? And not just that big one, but overall. What is it for? And is it for the right purpose? So understanding what your position is at that point, rather than panicking and just going, I have to get rid of this debt. Because a lot of people are quite frightened of debt and debt adverse, and that might not be the best option for them long term to get rid of a debt. I mean, people think, I owe all this money to the ATO. I say, well, yeah, but there are options, like you said. So don't panic. get some help and get some support.
So this is why I come back to the point of independence. So you need someone to sit there and objectively look at it and say, okay, well, what's the solution? And I know this is going to sound self-serving, but I'll say it anyway. I think a broker is best placed for that because they can look at the scenario and then they understand what solutions, what lenders have the appetite for that particular scenario or problem.
And also what the market conditions are right now. Because,
exactly.
Yeah, because, you know, after tonight, lending criteria is going to change again. We're talking, we're listening to news stories about the fact that interest-only loans are about to end in the next 4 years and what's that going to do to the property market and all those sort of things. So don't burden yourself with all
exactly.
that information, which we can't possibly hold in our heads apart from everything else we're trying to hang on to.
Well, the example that I gave before, so what around tax debt and this example that I'm, the scenario that I'm working on at the moment is this client went to his existing bank and said, oh, and he's banked with them like for 30 years. So mm-hmm. every dollar that he has made and borrowed has been through this one bank.
Do they care?
They do, but they won't change policy.
Okay.
And so he went to them and said, oh, my accountant has miscommunicated my tax debt. I'd like a loan to pay this tax debt and then I'll pay it down, you know, very quickly. And I won't tell you the amount of money that his net asset position and the amount of money that's probably gone through this bank via him. And the simple answer was no.
Though that he had been banking with them.
And I had to explain to him, I said, don't take it personally.
It's policy.
It's policy. That bank does not lend money to pay tax debts.
Yep.
There are other lenders who will, right? So this is another common mistake that people make is they... Rightfully so, you know, they have a banking relationship and then they want to do something, they go to that bank and the answer may be no or suboptimal. And what they probably don't realise is that whatever they're trying to do may not be in policy or may not be a niche of that particular bank, and therefore that's why they can't fulfil the problem or give the right solution.
Mm. And there are options, as you said.
That's
as
right.
long as you understand your position, you've looked at it as a whole big picture and you're looking at it down the track as well. Look, we've covered some absolutely fantastic stuff. We're going to take a break again and come back after the break and talk about preparing yourself for a loan application. What is it that you need to do? What ducks do you need to get lined up? And what's the best way to make yourself more attractive for taking out a loan. You've been listening to Small Biz Matters. My name is Alexi Boyd. We'll be back after this. And you're listening to Small Biz Matters, the half-hour program where you work on your business rather than in it. My name is Alexi Boyd, and today we're here with John Michalizzi from Command Home Loans. And we're talking all about debt finance, understanding it, knowing what your position is, and perhaps looking at refinancing options and understanding where you want to be in the future. So we've covered quite a lot in the show so far. If you have missed any of today's program, you can catch up on the blogs and podcasts page on smallbizmatters.com.au. And that's another great way to get in touch too if you've got some ideas or expertise that you'd like to share with small business owners out there. Just get in touch with us. So just before the break, we were talking a little bit about how to examine your loan and how to look at your position and what it means, not just as a business owner, but your personal positions as well. Because lending institutions will take into consideration all of the debt that you have, both as a person and a business. And that's important to note. So let's talk about preparing yourself for a loan application, because you need to put yourself almost in a different situation, don't you? We exist as small business owners to reduce our tax. We don't want to pay too much tax. So a lot of the time we're pushing down our income, we're moving around our salary, we're pushing it from being a person to a PTY or TD, and we play around with those things, and that's what that wonderful creative accounting of a good accountant does. But that's not so great if you want to take out a loan. Can you explain to us why that is, John?
So one of the things that I say to business owners is you can set up your affairs to reduce tax, or you can set up your affairs to maximise your borrowing capacity. You can't have both together.
Pity.
And now it's not as hard and fast as that.
But it's a good way to think of
it. But it's a good way to think, right?
So do you need some lead-in time to prepare yourself for debt financing? Because if I say to myself, well, everything, all my ducks are lined up, I do my BASAs, they're all on time, all of my books are up to date, I reconcile everything, everything's very pretty and all looking good, and suddenly go, well, I need $100,000 because I'm going to expand my business in this way and I need this piece of equipment or whatever it is, that your books, just because they're up to date, may not necessarily look attractive to a lender. So what can we do? What are some good steps and strategies that we can do as with a decent lead-in time to prepare ourselves for that?
Get a loan review. Get a debt position review. So I can't speak for other people in the industry, but my business is basically referrals. So if through my referral network, you know, someone wants a loan review, I'll do that, you know, obligation free.
Is that debt advisory thing that we were talking about? So when you're going out and you're looking for someone, this might be the point where you go, I need to understand not just what my BAS position is, but actually what my overall asset versus debt position
so,
is.
So through a loan review, what, as an example, the information I have to collect is, well, what are your assets? What are your liabilities? What are your income and what are your expenses? And then putting that all together, you can determine, you know, the debt position, whether there is borrowing capacity and what that borrowing capacity could be used for.
Mm-hmm.
And that will then give you a good picture of what you can do. And then going back to, well, is there, from that answer, what can I do in my business to change the numbers? Okay, so, you know, whatever you did in 2017, that's locked in. There's not really much you can do, right? If you've prepared your financial statements and your tax return on that basis, well, you can't rewrite history. Okay, so that is what it is. But then what can you do moving forward to perhaps change the way you account for things, the way you distribute income, that then can be more favourable if you are going to have to secure some form of debt, whether it be personal or for business. I'll just give you a quick example. So one of the classic things that family businesses do is distribute to others so as to minimise tax.
We're talking about a trust structure for example?
A trust structure as just a simple example. And it's a very generic example, right? But I think you'll understand why I'm sharing it. So if you come to me and say, well, this is my family trust position, this is the income it makes, but in the last 5 years I've distributed to my children and I haven't distributed to myself, that's very difficult. You can basically guarantee that you won't be able to use that income, because what the lender will want to see is a track record of distributing to the person who is applying for the loan.
Because your children can't apply for the loan in this instance, can they?
No. No, and I'm not going to go into what actually happens.
Yeah.
That's not my business. That's people's business and how they manage their affairs.
Mm.
However, as I said, if those financial statements and that tax return has not shown a distribution to the borrower, then you can pretty much guarantee that that income can't be used.
So once you work out what your position is, you've engaged with a debt advisor, you've worked out what your debts are versus what your assets are, what your income is, how you're distributing it, and then you isolate what it is that you're trying to go for, what is it you need it for, taking yourself back to those lovely three questions: what is the debt, what is it for, and is it for the right purpose? So you come back around to this, and now I guess the next thing to do is to go back to your accountant, your good accountant, your good independent accountant, say, look, this is what I'm intending to do. This is what the debt advisor has said the position is I need to be in. What do I do moving forward? Because like you said, you can't change anything in the past.
Mm.
What can I do for the next two financial years to make it look more attractive so that I can get this loan and then for expand my business?
Yeah, exactly. And it may be, you know, you may have to pay some more tax.
Yeah, more personal tax in the long run.
And, you know, that's, no one likes to pay tax, but the positive spin on paying tax is it means you're making money.
It also means your rubbish gets collected as well, I hear.
Yeah, supposedly.
Schools, hospitals.
So, again, very pertinent conversation, but because it's budget day.
Budget day.
So, yeah, look, I think there's not enough time in the day to get into that philosophical discussion of why you should pay tax. But I say to people, you know, because they bemoan the fact about they have to pay tax. And so, well, look, you know, that's a positive. It means you're making money.
Mm.
There's a lot of people out there who are continuing in losses, either paying themselves minimal wage as business owners, no wage at all. I know which position I'd rather be in.
Mm-hmm.
Just move on and use those profits for wealth generation, for wealth building and generation for the future.
That's right. So to summarise, with thinking about the end goal in mind, have a look at what position you're in and know what it is on a day-to-day basis. So you should be up to date with your books. There shouldn't be $10,000 sitting there unreconciled that you can't remember what it was from 6 months ago. That's not really helping things. And make sure that you are on time reporting your income and your expenses, with particularly with the ATO. Keep on top of the debts. Don't let them get out of hand. Don't ignore them, and understand that the ATO is now a defaulter debt, with the ATO is now part of your credit rating as well. I think that's a really important thing for people to take away today.
So if an adverse event is listed on your credit file, it's, you know, you still can get finance, but it becomes problematic because certain lenders won't engage with you. Some will, but for 2 years you're going to have to pay a higher rate. So, you know, again, don't panic, but just understand that for a few years there will be a detrimental impact. Can I also, if we're coming towards the end of the program, if we're talking about what people need to prepare, and it's already been said that, you know, their financial statements, mm-hmm. as a small business owner, should be in good order,
mm-hmm.
Which should be a given regardless of whether you're applying for debt or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave you with three C's that are important for lending. So one is collateral. So when you apply for a loan, what collateral do you have? What cash do you have? What property do you have that can secure the loan? Capacity. So that is, you know, what is your income, less your expenses, that can be directed towards the loan to pay it. And the third one, which is important for business lending, is character. So there will be a difference. If you're going for a business loan, there will be a difference if you've been in business for 2 years and come across as inexperienced versus you've been in business for 5 to 10 years and you are experienced and you are of good character. Because effectively, a simple rule of lending is they want to reduce risk. And if you have experience in that industry and an experienced business owner, then it then follows that it's implied that then there is less risk. So remember those three C's: capacity, collateral, character.
Good one. Good way to end the show, I think, John. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how we can find out more information about Command Home Loans.
So we have a website, www.commandhomeloans.com.au. There are ways to get in contact through there. If any of your listeners have liked what they've heard, I'm sure there's a way to get back to you, and then you can pass on their details to me.
Indeed. And also you're available on LinkedIn as well.
Available on LinkedIn as well. That's the general way people find us. We're predominantly a referral-based firm, in that we have a number of people who know us and clients who know us who refer people to us, which, as you alluded to before, is one of the best ways in small business.
Indeed. Look, thank you very much for coming on the program today. It's been jam-packed full of information. As I mentioned before, if you have missed any